Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And by that, I mean the defense you would see in an all-star game.
It's
pretty funny.
It's going to fall on him. It's going to fall on Scott Brooks.
Yeah, it has to.
And Scott Brooks. Now, last night, Scott Brooks played his subs. You know,
you can't keep saying it's
unacceptable and change nothing.
You know, Dwight Howard actually put up some decent numbers.
Well, yeah.
But he hurt his can again.
The gluteal soreness came into play.
You know what his gluteal soreness is? It's I don't want to play here anymore. I may have made a mistake.
5 minutes.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Much more on the Wizards later in the show, but not now.
We are live with them?
Chatter. Something happened. It's reported very late, but it's reported. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets Northwest. We're open for breakfast today. Tomorrow, we're going to do the podcast. We have trivia night tonight, so people can come tonight. And Tori did her podcast last night, another huge, successful Chatter on Books. Which was hugely successful. Tori is here. Kevin Sheehan is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will produce the show, run the board, do the news. Tonight there's trivia. Tomorrow we will do a podcast at 6 o'clock. So if you're listening to this and you want to come over, please come over. This is the pre-Thanksgiving evening podcast as we attempt to perhaps bring some people in to sell some liquor and food. And then nothing on Thursday. We're totally closed on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, because it's a disaster to open up a restaurant on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You lose money. And then Friday we'll do the regular morning podcast. We'll do the 7:30, 7:40, whatever it is, in the morning. I just wanted to read this. We were giving out wine in a can before. We got a big box of wine in a can. And this comes from Doug Kester in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Okay.
That Kuala Lumpur. Not the one in Iowa. The one in Malaysia. And he writes, enclosed is the only invitation to my wedding, January 11th, 2019. The woman to whom I will soon be related by marriage and I are doing a destination wedding on the island of Charatau off the coast of Thailand. The island is a former political prison turned pirate haven during World War II and is now an eco-tourism destination. It will be just the two of us and a bald orange man if you're willing to make the 22-hour flight to the other side of the world. No. Also enclosed is my latest offering from my employer, Villa Bilangelo Winery, wine in a can. I apologize we don't have a can red yet, but please enjoy these selections. Our winery has one of the best views of Seneca Lake, which I know well, in the Finger Lakes. Perhaps on your next trip to Binghamton, you can come a little further and visit us, enjoy fantastic wines, and play around on our golf course as a guest of the winemaker, Chris Misick. Both you and Michael are welcome. This is from Doug Kester in Kuala Lumpur. So I wanted to read
this,
that.
This is a big thing, wine in a can. I heard some story.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good for the wine and more environmentally, whatever. By the way, we did wine of the evening last night, Upshot.
What'd you
do? It was really good.
Well, how was your podcast?
We chatted about it.
Donna Brazile?
Donna Brazile, who is just remarkable.
Great. Lovely.
Just
she's one of the sweetest people
creature.
I've ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. Kevin, you didn't go to the Chatter on Books.
I didn't go to Chatter on Books, but I was here at Chatter on Friday night, and you had a crowd in here.
Did we on Friday night?
It was packed in here.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah,
I had a good crowd Saturday because the Notre Dame.
No, you made some money in here. I mean, I think everybody was in here watching the Nets-Wizards game, of course,
yeah,
on
we
Friday
got
night.
The big tilt.
But it was packed in here.
All right, so let me get to
proud of you.
Let me get to the headline. By the way, I will say this. This is very interesting for me. This is our last PTI show of the week, and all we always do turkeys of the year. This takes about 10 minutes, and we always do turkeys of the year because we do the open block, and then we do the turkeys of the year, and then we end with the happies. We can't do that. We have to put the turkeys. We have to compress them and put them at the end today. Because we have a guest today. In fact, we have two guests. Guests that were completely unexpected. Guests that you cannot turn down. And I have no idea how it's going to go.
Wow. Intrigue.
We have Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
There you go.
They want to promote.
They're promoting
they
that
want
big
to promote
thing Friday
their
night.
Golf match. In fact, Phil, I imagine Phil will wear a hat and Tiger will. They'll wear hats and shirts promoting whatever it is that they're doing. I'm not sure we'll get a single honest answer, but I'm up for this.
Oh, of course. Great.
I'm up for this.
Well, you get a Tiger nickname. Hey, thanks, T.
T. Call him T. Or
and they,
like he
they
calls
have,
Sans Sansy.
They have been doing a lot. And
Woodsy.
I've got
what
to
if
get...
I called him Woodsy? Woodsy, it's good to see you. How about that?
I'm beginning to think Tiger has a much better sense of humor than Mickelson. Somebody the other day was interviewing Tiger.
Tiger said, I've been in his head for 20
22
years. 22. Yeah, he's been in his head. All right, so let me get to the game. There's a record-shattering, record-setting game last night. I will not lie to you. I didn't stay up for all of it. I stayed up for the first half.
Well, that was a game.
That was a normal.
That was a pretty good game.
54-51. It's the highest scoring. It's the third highest scoring game of all time. I don't know that this means anything that's the highest scoring Monday night game, but what does mean something is this. It's the first time in the history of the NFL that a team that scored 50 lost. That had never happened before. The Chiefs got 51, and they lost. I'll just give you some statistics. Mahomes, who's great. Well, they're both great. They're both great. Mahomes and Goff, which makes you wonder, Jeff Fisher, what?
Yeah,
what? You missed the whole kid.
Yeah.
The kid with Sean McVay, Goff, is great. With you, you couldn't stand him. You couldn't get him in the game. Mahomes had 475 yards and 6 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions, and there were 2 strip sacks.
There were 7 turnovers
in
total.
Turnovers.
He had 5.
He had 5 turnovers. His last 2 drives ended in picks, which, I mean, he's trying. I understand that. And by the way, Kevin, maybe you can explain this to me. I did not see this, but I listened carefully on the review. The Rams, with their last possession, when they could have closed it out, it seemed to me, threw it. Three times. We're 3 and out in 14 seconds.
Yeah, there
seconds.
Was a lot of criticism of that,
What's
Tony.
That?
Well, the Kansas City had 3 timeouts, and the goal was do not give the ball back to Kansas City.
Right.
I actually didn't have much of a problem with what McVay was trying to do.
He
was staying aggressive. He wanted to run the clock out on offense.
He did try
and
to
not
run
just
it.
Have him burn timeouts. No, they didn't run once.
No, they threw
they
it.
They threw it 3 straight
so
times.
So why?
Well, 2 of them were completions, which made the Chiefs call timeouts.
Okay.
But there was criticism there. They didn't get the first down, but... No, you've got to try to win the game on offense there because the Chiefs, you could have easily lost it by giving it back to them.
So Mahomes goes 6 TDs and 475 through the air, but 5 personal turnovers. Goff has a strip sack as well, but no picks, 413 through the air and 4 touchdowns. Mark Maskey wrote something about this, and I want to give Maskey credit. I think Maskey's 100% right. This is football in the NFL now. This is the way they do it. Wilbon will yell and scream that they have legislated out defense. Let's understand something. This is entertainment first. Ratings are up.
Yep.
Ratings are up, Maskey says, for 3 reasons. There is no Roger Goodell controversy. Nobody even knows he's the commissioner. There is no national anthem controversy. You have not heard a word about this.
No, you haven't.
And teams are big-name quarterbacks are not injured in the main. And scoring is up and ratings are up. Would we agree?
Absolutely. That
this is Maskey's. I think he's 100% right. And people like Wilbon that scream the defense is being legislated out. There were interceptions last night. There were strip sacks last night. There were touchdowns as a result of these things.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, do you know who the best player on the field was last night? Wasn't an offensive
Aaron Donald.
Player. Aaron Donald was the best player on the field last night. Yeah, I think Maskey nailed it. I think a lot of it has to do with this anthem issue going away.
No.
A lot of
but it hasn't even gone away.
I'm worried Kevin's looking at the classifieds.
I'm reading the obits actually. There's no controversies this year. There's no heavy election stuff that we had 2 years ago. Offense is clearly helping, but
that's
Tony.
That's why the ratings are up.
But Tony, right now, that matchup last night, there are 2 of those matchups. It's new among 3 teams, right? It's the 3 teams that can do that. You're not seeing that every Sunday. You're seeing that between 3
Kevin,
teams right now.
Kevin, when you tune into the red zone
more offense,
at 3:30,
more offense this year, but you're not getting 54-51 every week.
No, of course not, but you're getting final second walk-off plays.
Oh, yes, the
time after time after
Sunday
time.
Sunday was incredible.
The excitement of that has boosted. The ratings are
agree
up.
With that.
Everybody said, the
that.
NFL's dead. It's dead. Yeah. Michael Wilbon.
Who
get
said
rid
that?
Of the Wilbon. Get rid of the NFL. It's dead.
I know, but that's Wilbon.
I think
come
both
on.
Of you vastly overestimate the impact of national anthem and things like that and political stuff because you all appropriately hated talking about it. I don't think that's what
I
brought ratings down. A couple of things. One, and this is the mom factor, right? A lot of it, people worried about concussions.
Yes.
And I think interest in the league in general has gone down. And just when you start to say to yourself as you're managing how much time you have to watch different things, you know, professional football, I'm kind of done with that. A game like this sucks you back in, right? And a high-scoring game, something exciting, sucks you back in. The sport has a way of dragging you back in.
There are 3 teams at the top of the charts. They're Kansas City, which would be 3rd at the moment because Kansas City has lost to both New Orleans and the LA Rams.
And they're a terrible defensive team.
Right. And there are the Rams would be 2nd right now, maybe or 1st, but the Saints I think might be 1st right now because they beat the Rams. But New England has proven over a long period of time, including this year, New England has proven, because they beat the Chiefs. If you know, when it comes down to it, we can win too. And those four teams, right? Those
yes.
four teams are above everybody else. It's been a wonderful thing to watch. Steve Young, I watched the post game with your boy Scotty Van Pelt this morning, and he was talking to Steve Young, and Steve Young's direct quote was, "How do I get on the field?" Because yeah. quarterbacks, I'll bet Theismann feels the same way. I'll bet they feel, I have yes. room, I have time, they can't kill me, let me get out there. And that's what you're seeing. I don't know that there's no defense. I think these offenses are good.
There are actually a couple of very good defenses this year, Tony. But, yeah, the scoring's up. The excitement of the games on Sunday, I think you had five or six walk-off
yes.
finishes.
And every week you have that.
And, yeah. you know, I think football fans enjoy last night, but I think longtime football fans also enjoy 17, 14 walk-off.
Yes,
at times.
As long as it's because exciting. It doesn't have to be
last
in the 50s.
Night was a Big 12 game. I mean, it really was. It was.
You had two. If you were to list the great offensive minds, you make a list of the top five offensive minds. On everybody's list of those top five, that would include Andy Reid. That would include Sean McVay. That would include Sean Payton.
Oh, in the game today, yes.
Yeah.
No doubt. Right now.
Those three. So you had two of them last night. And that was tremendously exciting. And by the way, Chuck Todd.
If you recall,
when that game was going to be played in Mexico City, the line was the Chiefs plus 2.5. When that game was moved to L.A., and by the way, did you see the Mexico City field?
Yeah.
Dump.
Unplayable.
Dump.
But unplayable. They're going to play there next year. They
well,
announced that last night.
They have a year
night.
To make the field better, which
yeah,
they
well,
can do.
We'll see.
The line went one up, and Chuck Todd said, I can't turn away from the Chiefs plus 3.5. I think it's a 3-point game.
It went off
game.
At 3 last night.
But he got it at 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's 5-2. Chuck Todd's numbers, do you have his numbers?
Not ready yet.
Okay, I have his numbers because they are astonishing. This is Chuck Todd, who doesn't do this for a living. All right, he's betting against
he has another job.
He's got a very good plan B.
Chuck Todd is now 43-31-3.
It's pretty good.
That's really good.
He's a sharp.
He's really, really good, Chuck Todd, at the moment. He should be, even with that stupid picture in Capitol File, he should feel good about himself. Is there another game all year that we have to see?
Well, you've got...
There's one more.
You've
right?
got,
Pittsburgh, New England will be a good one.
Okay. Pittsburgh, New England. You've got Pittsburgh, New Orleans still left. You did have Rams, Eagles, which is, I think, a Monday night game that doesn't look as attractive now.
Right.
The Chiefs, they play, I mean, I don't think the Ravens' defense is what it was earlier in the year. I was looking forward to seeing
there's
that defense
Chiefs
against the
Chargers
Chiefs.
There's two Chiefs-Chargers games, but I...
No, either. One Chiefs-Chargers
Oh, that's just
game.
One?
Yeah, there's one left, and it's at Arrowhead.
So, in any case,
Redskins,
I mean,
Giants would be pretty
what
good
did you
game.
Think of the game last night?
I mean, it was highly entertaining. That's, I will tell you this.
Right,
it was one of the worst officiated games, Tony, of the year.
Well, they called 100 penalties
there were
in the first
21 yeah. accepted penalties for over 200 yards in penalty yardage. It was a horribly officiated game, which I thought
weren't
impacted
most of the calls
it negatively.
At the line? Weren't most of them at the line?
There were a lot of helmet-to-helmets that weren't. There were a lot of defensive holding calls, which,
yeah.
by the way, against these two teams, it's about the only way you can stop the other team. But it was highly entertaining. You mentioned the highest scoring Monday night game in history. Do you know which game it eclipsed as the highest scoring game?
I thought it was a Redskins game, 48-47
against
with
the Packers.
Yeah. I remember watching that.
And if the game had gone to overtime last night, and when KC got it back, everybody thought field goal means 54-54 overtime,
mm-hmm.
a touchdown in overtime would have made it the highest scoring game of all time.
What was the over-under?
Because Beating the Redskins Giants.
I think the over-under was the highest of all
63.5.
And they killed it. They killed it.
What was the halftime score? I think it went over almost at halftime.
It's just unbelievable.
No, it was 23-23 at halftime. Yeah, it was over in the third quarter.
So, just an amazing thing. What you have this year is you have these two guys. Wentz is good, but Wentz is not on their level this year. But you've got Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady. Those five quarterbacks you look at and you go, wow. It's just anytime you can see them.
Absolutely.
You want to
you
see
want
them. Breeze,
exactly.
Breeze has had the best year of all time.
They're the best team.
Of all time.
They're the best
he's
team right now.
He's completing 78% of his passes.
I don't know how anybody's going to beat them.
Well, they have no defense.
No, they're much better defensively right now than they were. Kansas City isn't very good defensively, and the Rams are talented, Tony, defensively. But they don't seem to put it together.
We'll get out of here. When we come back, Jason LaConfora will join us, which is always a treat for us from CBS. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the First Leaf ad. Michael has graciously signed me up for First Leaf Wine Club. That's and exciting. I look forward to it every month. I think it's really good. And then I give Michael my ratings.
Right, the note cards, right?
And then he throws them out. I don't really think.
So Michael, I pay for the wine and I rate the wine. The only thing I'm missing is drinking the wine.
You don't get to drink the wine. The wine tyrant does not let you drink the wine. I get it. The more wine you taste and rate, the better they customize your box of wine. It's not a box of wine in the sense that the wine, you open up the box. You open up the box to get the bottle of wine.
Nothing wrong with boxed wine.
When you sign up with my personal link, you get your 3-pack of introductory wine for only $15 plus free shipping. If you then rate your first 3 wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box of wine from First Leaf. When it comes to buying wine, most of our choices are made out of habit. We don't remember how we found our favorites. We just know that when we're at checkout, those same brands and bottles are in our carts week after week. First Leaf is a new online club that's putting a stop to boring wine buying by helping you discover your new favorite wines. Every shipment is curated, I love that word, to your taste based on the ratings of your wine. So you start, you answer 3 introductory questions about your wine drinking preference. Then firstly, it creates an introductory 3-pack of wine for you based on your flavor profile. Best part is you get all 3 for just $5 each, and these are $20 wines at least. When the bottles arrive, you taste them and then you rate them online. First Leaf will take your ratings and select new wines based on your taste for the next shipment. This is why I always fill out the cards. Michael, what are some of my astute comments about wines?
Good. Very good exclamation point.
Or didn't like this one. No good.
Frowny face.
Their experts are constantly exploring new wines for me to taste and rate. It's amazing how accurate they are selecting wines that I love. After rating my first 3 wines, the next shipment I got was almost perfect. 5 out of 6 wines were spot on, except for the one I didn't like. And my shipments are only going to get better the more wines I rate. So try First Leaf Wine Club today, where buying great wine is simple. Sign up with my personal link. You'll get the exclusive introductory offer. It's 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. And that's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, which is easy, it's easy, you get an extra $10 off your next box. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That is try, T-R-Y, firstleaf.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This song is called Taken. It is by Brooklyn Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E. We played one of her songs yesterday.
Yes, Bonfire.
She's an aspiring country music singer who has moved to Nashville, if I'm not mistaken.
That is right.
To pursue her craft. And we think she's very, very good.
I think she's great.
Most of the people who send in music are very good. My favorite, of course, is Joe Farrell, who can't sing, but who pleases me enormously.
Yes, he does.
Again, Brooklyn Steele. You can go get her stuff, and it's very, very good. Jason Lockenfour of CBS joins us now, and we have a sponsor specifically for Jason. And that is Purell, and we're supposed to say it's time for NFL cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand and new Purell singles. So, Jason, you should be very pleased that they thought enough of you to do that. How's Copper? How's the rehab?
He's good, thanks. We are tomorrow is the 1-month checkup, so he has now reached a point where we've got to get doggy gates because he thinks he can run up and down things again. So,
right.
Now's where the rubber hits the road, and I find out whether I truly did just pretty much pee away $3,000. So
no, let's hope it's good. Let's hope it's good. I will get to the Rams and the Chiefs. We spent the entire first segment talking about that. Let me get to a few other things first. The thing that I sat and I watched this on Sunday and I said, how does this guy have a job? Ron Rivera. What is that? How can you do that? And it doesn't matter that the pass was there, you know, that the guy was open. How can this is not college. This is not trying to beat Ohio State if you're Maryland. You go to overtime against the Detroit Lions because you're better than them. What, unless you want to tell me I'm wrong, I thought it was insane.
I think we're at a stage now where the marriage or the attempted marriage between sort of conservative or old school or whether you want to call it tried and true football-isms and sort of this new age, more analytically inclined, numbers-driven, statistical data that is now so readily available to these coaches, and that is now, I'm not saying it's absolutely relished and welcomed in every coaching office, but it is, you know, it's becoming more of a way of life. I think sometimes the numbers get the best of these guys, and sometimes I think the numbers fuel the aggression that's already in them and gives them justification for maybe doing things that they would not have even considered, in Rivera's case, maybe 5 or 7 years ago. Saying all that, you can make the case that you have the ball in the hands of your best player, of your highest-paid player, of a guy who's at least on the outskirts of the MVP race and who has flourished under North Turner, and he could have ran right, he could have ran up the middle, he could have ran left, and probably scored relatively easily, and then also did have, at least momentarily, a receiver cutting free over the middle who you know, he just misconnected with and overthrew. I can understand on a certain level, in a vacuum, on a day when Graham Gano is terrible, and it's oh no Gano, you wanting to have Cam Newton decide that game rather than Gano, because you really don't think in his mental space right now he could even convert a game-tying extra point. Do I agree with it?
I don't.
Probably not, but I don't hate that as much as I've hated some of the other ones. I don't hate that as much as I hated Bill O'Brien when his team was 0-3 playing for a tie in Indianapolis. Now, he got rewarded with it, and he ain't lost since.
That's
so
right.
I get it. It's
That's
a results-oriented
right.
league, but I don't hate it. If Gano had been great, then I'm like, then I would be irate. Oh, wow, that all rhymed.
Yeah, I hated it. I'll move on. Minnesota right now. Minnesota and Carolina are still barely hanging on to the wild card games. There's nobody has been under the scrutiny of Kirk Cousins. Nobody got the contract that Kirk Cousins did. That's a contract worthy of a Super Bowl winner. They are 5-4-1, and in this most recent game, Washington Redskins fans saw the Kirk Cousins they were used to for a very long time, throwing bad interceptions. He has not, to my way of thinking, he has not been what they thought he was going to be. What are your thoughts? There's a lot of time left.
Yeah, he started out great. And I think there was a period of time in October, late September, early October, where the defense was faltering and where they're kind of alternating running backs by the week, and it's more Murray than anybody thought because Cook was injured again. And I think he had a couple-week stretch there where it looked like he was going to earn this thing. And now they've gotten a little better defensively, and they're playing these primetime games, these games that are quasi-in-season playoff games, and what he did the other night wasn't good enough. And what he's done in a couple of those division games has not been good enough. And this is going to be an incredibly interesting sort of NFL socioeconomic parable. You know, the guy gets the fully guaranteed, the 3 years, and it's $84 million, and it's $90 if they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And is that, you know, is that going to be the coronation of Rick Spielman, or is that going to be the end of Rick Spielman's long, long run in Minnesota? I don't know. It's not like that team's going to be blown up this year. They extended, despite the Cousins contract, they extended pretty much anybody you can make a case of them extending on that roster this offseason. So it's not as if they were completely handcuffed, but by 2020, they will be. They'll be where the Jacksonville Jaguars are right now, on the precipice of having to get rid of some really good players and refigure out the quarterback position if this doesn't work. You know, it's like in year three, is he tradable? You know, if they don't win next year and they reach a point where they're like, well, maybe we can peddle the last guaranteed year of this contract and we go in a different direction because we like that quarterback draft than some of these others. But no, it hasn't been good enough, and if anybody there tries to claim that this is anything other than we need to win a Super Bowl to justify this, you're fooling yourself. That's exactly what has to happen.
100%. Let me move on to Le'Veon Bell. I don't understand this. I cannot, Jason, I don't
understand. Money's overrated, Tony. I think that's the moral of the story.
What do the Steelers get? What does he get? What is this? What is this?
You know, it's a player feeling as if, and he has every right to do this. He did not negotiate that contract. It was negotiated by the NFL and NFLPA for him when they, you know, altered and agreed to a new structure for the franchise tag and how it's computed back when they did this CBA 7 years ago or whatever it was. He didn't have to sign it. He doesn't have to make $850 a week to play football, and he decided not to. Will that gamble benefit him in any way in 2019? I don't know. I tend to think not so much. It's certainly not nearly to the degree that he hopes it will. But it only takes.
I think he's going to end up like Mike Moustakas. I think he's going to say, here are my statistics, and people say, we're not particularly interested in you at the number that you want.
I wrote about this weekend. I talked to a lot of the teams who are connected to this guy. And look, it's easy for everybody to tell me he's not going to get his money in November, right? You would expect people who work for NFL teams and are negotiating a salary or general manager capacity to try to want to poo-poo his market. But guys who I really know and trust who have not BS'd me in the past were adamant, like, that's not where I'm putting my money. Like, could we use him? Yeah, but I've got a young team and a young locker room, and I don't want the highest paid guy that I bring in to maybe quit on us in year three after his guaranteed money's gone. Or, you know, just decide he wants to stay in South Beach for an extra month this year, and I'll see you guys in week four. You can find me. Like, that is run so counter to the culture that many of these guys who are being connected to him in the media are trying to instill. Again, it only takes one owner who can't get anybody else to take his money to say, let's go give this guy $15 million a year and guarantee the first 2.5 years.
But he had $14 million in his hand this year, and now he has zero.
Well, his thinking is it's $14 million, but if I suffer a major injury, then that might be the last thing I get.
It's
$14 million.
It's not $130,000.
But I'm not defending it. I'm just saying this is where he's coming from. That at some point, now, okay, I'm going to come back and play for seven. Well, what if I get that injury now? Or what if something happens that kills my market value? Or what if the Steelers just don't play me that much because it's Connor? And trust me, the Steelers tried like heck to re-recruit this guy. He just did not want to play football this year. There's something in him that feels like this structure and the way this structure was designed sucks for me, and I don't agree with it. So I'm gonna do whatever I have to do to protect my right to get out into the marketplace and see what I'm worth. And he's going to find that out even on a transition tag. I just think what he finds out may not be to his liking.
Let me get to the Rams and the Chiefs and the points that we were talking about earlier that Maskey, your former great colleague, made in the Post this morning, that we don't have controversy with Roger Goodell, and we don't have controversy with the anthem, and we have the great veteran quarterbacks out there healthy this year in Breeze and Brady and Rodgers, and we have Mahomes and Goff, and we have all this scoring, and therefore, because it's entertainment, ratings are up, and everybody should be happy. You're down the line with most of that, right?
Absolutely. I think it's quality of play above all else, and I think it's quality. It's having a game like that on a national television versus last year when the Packers were supposed to be on five or six times, and Aaron Rodgers only played in one, and the rest of the time you're watching, you know, this Hundley character impersonate an NFL quarterback. And it was the tremendous drop-off. It's the Houston Texans, and you're watching Deshaun Watson play against Seattle on that 425 game, thinking, wow, Russell Wilson against Deshaun Watson, this can't get any better than this. And then a week later, that kid's season's over, and it's Tom Savage running around, you know what I mean, trying to replace him. So I think it really does start there. And then you factor in the political climate and all the ancillary things that were going on. And I think a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, whatever your political leanings were, could pretty easily find a way to say, screw football. Are we ever going to get back to where things were, 2012 to 2015, ratings-wise and elsewhere? I don't know. Each week there's some new device that, some new way to consume movies, music, football, anything. But they're fully invested in the streaming stuff. I think that the most underreported deal that they did, and it came in the midst of all the doom and gloom, was them getting a couple billion dollars from Verizon to kind of start kicking around the whole streaming thing. And gambling is only going to take this to another level the more mainstream that gets. So anybody who's fretting about franchise worth and if the owners are making enough money, shed no tears for them.
Let me get to one thing. I'll have you plug the podcast, but I got one more question. Can Lamar Jackson save John Harbaugh's job in Baltimore?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. If they cultivate this kid to a point where, Steve Bisciotti decides that, I do need to give John Harbaugh another $45 to $50 million to try to usher in another 5 years of Ravens football and do it in this entirely drastically different way to anything we've done here before from an offensive standpoint. It's the only possible way that this isn't a an amicable parting of the ways come January, but we'll see. I mean, the AFC is very watered down, but these guys still have to go to the Chiefs. They still have to go to the Chargers. They still have to go to Atlanta. That won't be easy. They struggled with Cleveland the first time around. So we'll see. But I think what Lamar Jackson also will be doing is, as he flashes enough sort of stuff, pizzazz, it, whatever you want to call it, it makes that job more and more palatable to some people who maybe at the beginning of the season, coaching candidates who weren't that high on Lamar, maybe wouldn't have been looking at the Ravens as a dream destination.
Okay. All right, plug your podcast for us.
Obviously a huge week in Baltimore sports, Tone. No better place to check it all out and get your insight and information than from the Baltimore Opinionated. Be More Opinionated podcast. We've got Lamar Jackson's debut, what that means for the future. Will Joe get his job back? The Orioles finally hired a general manager, and looks like they may have hit a home run there. So plenty of that to discuss. And since we're talking sponsorships, a little CBS birdie whispered in my ear that I should plug the CBS Pick 6 podcast that I'm a part of as well, Tone.
Good job out of you.
It's good to make the suits.
Good luck with the dog.
From time to time. So, you can check me out with Will Brinson and Pete Prisco and all my CBS buddies at the Pick 6 podcast on iTunes and all those other places.
Thank you. Talk to you next week, guys. Jason.
Do
you want to plug your podcast, too?
Sure.
And then I'll do a commercial.
The podcast is downloadable via any of those podcast platforms, Tony. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Spotify, and you can go to thekevinsheehanshow.com to listen to the podcast.
Fantastic. We will have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Cold and flu season is here, and just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it is easy to spread these seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets. Purell, by the way, and this is not in the copy, I mean, goldmine.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, come on.
You gotta have it.
All over the cruise ships.
Yeah, these new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient.
I need these for the boy.
Yeah, you do.
Have you been to a library? Every kid's just putting things in his mouth.
Yeah, it's awful.
Touching you.
No, it's awful. It's worse than being, at a dog park, because a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth.
Right.
The Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection. You see them everywhere you go to a hospital. And the same germ-fighting formula the doctors use goes into every Purell Singles packet. But here's the best part. They go everywhere. You take a handful to keep in the car to wipe your kid's face or your own hands.
Or wipe the other kid's face.
Just smack the other kid with a Purell. Throw a few in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess. Each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC? So as we head into the busiest time of year, and I know this because I had a flu shot last week, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. They can help you avoid getting sick and get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, get your Purell Singles on Amazon today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This band is called the Diane Kruger Effect. It is composed of Luke Overby, Jason Fuse, and the incomparable Robert Berg. It's a song called The Ballad of Coleslaw McCracken. And they are the band is on the precipice of releasing the debut album E Pluribus Quattro, which in about a month will be available all over the earwaves of this great nation. This song, again, The Ballad of Coleslaw McCracken, and they chose to send this one in because, one, it's about baseball and rapping to Scott Joplin songs right in your wheelhouse. It takes place in 1923. Old people such as yourself enjoy reminiscing about your Lillian Gish posters and your Paul Whiteman records. Soak it up, Grandpa. And three, you love songs that were written in 15 minutes. Well, Jason spent only 8 minutes putting together this music track, and Luke is freestyling. Suck on that, Brian Wilson. I love these people, as you know.
They have so much fun.
Yeah. So if people want to send in music like the Diane Kruger effect, how do they do that?
This sets a new bar, but send your music to us by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And because you're going away, this is the last time I'll ask you this week to sell some product.
This is my one shot.
This is it.
All right.
Take your shot, Hamilton.
You do not need any Black Friday specials. We always have heavy discounts at shop.tonykornheiser.com, where you can pick out your very own knit winter hat with pom-pom and
we got t-shirts,
the official Tony Kornheiser Show hooded sweatshirt and t-shirt.
Fantastic. We have somebody's wearing a t-shirt here.
Oh, that's very nice.
Nigel, you have news?
By the way, I should point out before I get to the news proper that the Diane Kruger effect is also provides the soundtrack for the opening for the books on Chatter on Books podcast.
Oh, that's
podcast.
Great. That's right. That's great. Yes. The Tory podcast on
Sharing the Love.
Is that Monday at 6 or Monday at 4?
Monday at 5:30.
Get here at 4 and start drinking at 4.
Yes, yeah. Please do.
And again, to remind
because
people.
Because we are full service and for profit.
Is Diane Kruger going to be here also?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
I'm working on that. Yeah. And tomorrow night is a great night. You know, when you get to town, you come home for Thanksgiving, you're going to be with your family for 3 or 4 days. You're going to get sick of them. Come here
sick
tomorrow
early.
Night.
Sick just, of you
yeah,
early.
Come here tomorrow night.
We'll see
the
podcast.
Show and get drunk as a Russian
that's
sailor.
That's right.
There you
go.
Not that Russian sailors get particularly drunk. Mr. Tony, we will start off with baseball. Big signing by your Washington Nationals. This will put them over the top.
No.
Kirk Suzuki will be the new
back
catcher.
Back with the team.
Yes. Agrees to a 2-year.
It's not what they need. He's 35-year-old. He's not an everyday catcher.
Does anybody spend money on catchers anymore?
Well, they could have spent money on Real Muto, and that would have been smart.
Yeah.
Well, they changed their
They should
season.
Have done that a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that would have changed their season.
But this is a bigger deal than you think. If you actually watched a lot of the games in the late summer, the pitchers were noticeably upset
they
with
hated
the way
the
that the games were called.
Yes.
You have a couple of young guys in rotation. Maybe one of them pans out. This is not a solution, but it helps them get better. And he's a clubhouse guy when you had clubhouse issues and a manager that needs all the help he can get.
And he's played here before, and yeah. People like him. Okay.
Yes. The Redskins have a backup quarterback. Yeah. It'll be Mark Sanchez backing up Colt McCoy. This, of course, after Alex Smith broke two bones in his right leg during Sunday's loss to the Houston Texans. So Mark Sanchez will be now in the Burgundy.
How old is he?
I don't think he's more than 31 or 32.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought he was older.
His first couple of years in the league were very good. When
he
was with the Jets.
Played with a very good defensive foot.
Yeah, I mean, they were very good.
Sort of the defense carrying
he's
the Jets.
He's been demonized by that butt fumble. Yes. And everybody makes fun of him all the time. He's not bad.
He just turned 32.
Yeah, he's okay. Right, Kev? He's not
and
bad.
And what's he been doing?
He's not great.
You
but
don't
he,
want him
but,
in there, but he's not bad.
They needed a veteran that could come in and understood the coaches. He's got a relationship
with these guys.
Yeah, with Kevin O'Connell and Matt Cavanaugh.
So that's okay.
This entire team is beginning to feel like 2008.
Yeah, there's a certain quality to it in that regard. Yes, but I think that he's
well. Jim Zorn's not the coach.
I think he's all right.
Well, let's
see
how they finish the season.
I think I differ. I do, but I'm not sure Kevin agrees with me. I think Colt McCoy can win games.
Yes,
I like Colt McCoy. I always liked him as much as I like Kirk Cousins, and I was really in the very, very tiny minority on that. What are your thoughts about
it? Well, you and I were in the same tiny minority, and I'm still in it on Cousins. But I think the offense is going to work better with Colt McCoy than it has in the first 9 games. I think if you started him for 16, Tony, with a good team, he's 8-8. But he's got 6 games left. He's got to win 3 of them somehow, and I think he can.
They cannot lose. Their entire season is these 2 weeks at Dallas, at Philly. If they lose them both, they are not going to win. Right? You'd agree with that?
More likely than not.
Right. But if they win one.
Just one of
just
them.
Just one. Just win one of them. Go ahead.
Tough night for the Duke Blue Devils. They're only
really?
only able to scrape together 90 points. They squeak by San Diego State 90-64.
There is this notion, by the way, that that when you play the first round of these tournament games that you're playing Binghamton. San Diego State goes to the tournament every year.
Yeah.
Every year. They usually walk into the tournament at something like 27-8, right?
Well, Kawhi Leonard wasn't on their team last night.
Right, but
so,
but, you
but
know,
they've been good.
They're good.
And they destroyed them.
They beat them down. What happened just now?
What happened? Sure.
A truck set something off.
Yeah,
we set the board. They won by 26 against the tournament team. What else?
Are they going to lose? Have you and Wilbon done
sure,
the Will
sure,
Duke
I'm
go
sure
undefeated?
I'm sure they'll lose one or two games. People lose. That's fine.
Mr. Tony, I know you wanted to talk about the big... There's a lot of games in the college football this weekend.
I want to talk about Michigan-Ohio State.
Yeah, Michigan-Ohio State.
Because Kevin's here, and I want...
I believe this is the first time under Urban Meyer that they will be an underdog.
Yeah, they are three and a half point at home.
Four, yeah, somewhere around
there. Three and a half, four at home. And I'm going to ask you this. So I know you're betting on this team, and it's this game. Do you know that Michigan has not won in Columbus since 2000? That Ohio State has won 13 of the last 14 games with Michigan. Does that not factor in the line, or is it a factor?
Well, first of all, the line a few weeks ago, I think everybody was curious to see what it would be. And it stayed pretty much the same. Michigan on the look-ahead line was like 2 weeks ago. I thought they might go higher after Ohio State, Maryland, the way they played at Maryland. Ohio State, Tony, is fraudulent. They have a terrible defense. The quarterback still isn't there quite yet. Michigan's a much better football team.
So this does not so surprises you that it's only 3.5?
No, I it's a rivalry game. It's on the road. But, Tony,
record, though, is...
All Ohio State.
Right.
It's all Ohio.
That's got to count, Kevin.
This is a different Michigan team. This is a very good Michigan team.
So one of my in-house consultants, Charlie, goes to Michigan. And a couple days ago, my husband, Brian, clearly was drinking too much. He goes, you know, maybe an early Christmas present. We could send Charlie and one of his pals to the game this weekend. And I said, that is insane. He said, our children do not have a good record of behaving, right, in uncomfortable situations. I said, no, he has to live. But a lot of people be watching.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah, that's an enormous number. Yeah. Is that a night game?
No,
or is
it's
that...
12 noon.
They even had tons.
It's that early?
Yeah.
You've got that, and then you've got the Iron Bowl, Alabama-Auburn.
And Notre Dame.
And then Notre Dame, Southern Cal.
That's a night game?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's like a 4:30 start out there.
Exactly.
Okay. The other thing you might want to consider this is how about...
So come into this bar in Notre Dame Saturday night.
Just come in at 11. Come in at 11 and stay all day.
Start drinking at 10. What time do you open on Saturday?
And about 10:30 or 11.
I'll meet you here.
Exactly.
What else you got?
I was just going to say, Harbaugh's record against his rivals.
It's bad.
It's miserable. It's so I don't know if that factors into.
They had Tom Brady on the radio in Boston yesterday trash talking Ohio State.
Well, he's an old Michigan guy.
Yeah.
Michigan. That's right.
Yeah. Michigan man.
It looks like Jim Acosta will be back at the White House.
Of course he will.
Yes, the Trump administration dropped its effort to bar him, but they said, you're on double secret probation. They said the rules that they will now say are reporters will be permitted one question each if called upon and allowed follow-ups only at the discretion of the president. In a letter to Acosta, they said that they will be forced to reconsider the decision to reinstate him if unprofessional behavior occurs.
He's not unprofessional. Stop it.
Just because you don't like the questions doesn't mean he's unprofessional.
Stop it. What else?
Let's see if we get Niedermeyer on that as well.
Can I talk about the White House correspondence?
Yeah, I was going to just get to that. The White House Correspondents' Dinner has made a very interesting decision.
Go ahead. Tell them.
They are not going to have a comedian at the event now. They have booked biographer Ron Chernow to be the featured speaker at this event.
Okay. Some of us have been to this event. There are thousands of people in there. No one is listening to anyone who's up there. The president of the White House Correspondents Association drones on about the scholarships.
Awards are given,
And people, you know, no one is listening. There's polite applause when the microphone goes dead because you think something has happened. They're bringing a guy who is an actual writer.
Brilliant writer.
Brilliant and probably a great lecturer. No one. This is a suicidal move by Olivier Knox, the chief Washington correspondent for SiriusXM, who's the head of the dinner. No one is going to listen to this guy. It's going to be the worst night of his life. And I know what it's like when you get up there to speak and no one is listening. It's awful. No one is going to listen to him. He'll hate it. Everyone will hate it. Everyone will feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm. And it'll be disastrous. Just get a band. You've already got the White House band, you know, the military band. Just get a band or get a singer. You don't want a comedian. I get it. You know, because it's controversial. Get somebody else. Tori, this is awful.
It's awful, but this dinner jumped the shark years ago.
Maybe.
Years and years ago. It started out dreadfully, right? And any time an organization or an industry starts holding events to give itself awards, you know, this is the beginning of the end. So they did it. It was boring. It was dreadful. Mike Kelly, God rest his soul, started to make it fun by bringing Fawn Hall, the first celebrity date. And then it turned into this ridiculous thing, a People Magazine-like thing. How many famous celebrities?
Adrian Grenier. No. I don't take pictures. Really, get out. You have no career. Get out.
That all got ridiculous. And then yes. the comedians did what comedians do.
That's what they do.
This is what they do. They make fun of people. They say outrageous things. So to be offended by that, anyone to be offended by that is ridiculous.
Insane.
Well, I mean, speaking as a comedian in this room, I've advocated for years that Rich Little should just get this job every year.
Spectacular. Just show his old performances.
It's get
a singer. Get a really good singer to do three songs.
How about not have the dinner? How about that? Let's give the money to some charity.
The dinner was fun. I've gone a few times. I've enjoyed it. Michael went to the dinner. You liked it, didn't you?
Not really.
Really? Who's that picture we have of you with at that dinner?
Oh, like...
She's an actress of some sort?
She was on like an MTV show, The Hills, maybe. Is it Conrad?
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know
Laura
who it
Conrad?
Is.
Robert Conrad?
I don't know who it is.
Wife Peter.
Robert Conrad?
Yes.
Aren't you thinking Robert Conrad? Was it? Oh, I'm thinking Robert married to Natalie Wagner.
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Sorry, yeah. Natalie Wood.
RJ, wasn't it? As his pals called.
Just a very slightly controversial disappearance.
Yeah.
It's 40 years ago. All right,
that makes it okay.
No, it's not okay.
Get the record clear.
We don't know what happened.
We know somebody.
Conrad. We don't know what happened.
Robert Conrad, a nice guy, right?
Well, we don't know.
Don't
I don't know.
Nigel knows somebody who was on the boat that day.
Yes, he does. He knows Christopher Walken.
Right. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Mr. Tony, now we will take you to your favorite sport, curling.
This is a great story.
Right.
Apparently, it is not just okay, but it is expected for people in curling matches to drink while they're in the curling match.
Yes. Of course
drink
it is.
Beer.
Yes.
I've never been to a curling match. I don't know. As Scott Van Pelt said today, I know as much about curling as the next guy, unless the next guy actually is curling.
Well, the foursome of Jamie Coe, Ryan Fry, Chris Schill, and DJ Kidby got kicked out of the Red Deer Curling Classic in Alberta.
This is an actual tournament.
Yes.
This is a big deal.
Or a Bonspiel, I guess, as they
were. Were they hammered?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Totally hammered.
They went out to curl, and they were extremely drunk in breaking brooms and swearing and just unacceptable behavior that nobody wants to watch or hear or listen to, and it was
except
just
them.
Enough was enough. There was some damage to the locker room and other teams complaining about this stuff being kicked around in the locker room. So at the end of the day, it was like,
sort of like after a Wizards practice.
Just like
it. Yeah.
So these guys were kicked out. One of the guys, Fry, was a gold medalist.
These guys are good.
Yeah, and Sochi said, I would like to sincerely apologize to the fans, the participants, and organizers of this Red Deer Curling Classic. I came to the event to play and enjoy the sport. My actions were truly disrespectful, embarrassing.
It's not who I am.
Is it a normal thing?
I find it hard to believe that.
He goes, no, they were right.
This has not happened before. Because drinking is a big part of curling.
Seems
I find
to
it hard
Who
to
knew?
Believe.
Did you? I found out today. I didn't know.
Did you guys, have you guys talked on the show or any show about the referee at the football match, the soccer match in England, who forgot the coin?
Did rock, paper, scissors.
He forgot the coin.
It's not a bad
for
way
the
to
coin
decide
toss?
It.
Couldn't somebody have just given him a coin?
Well, nobody carries coins anymore, except old people like you. You're about the only person that has coins in your pocket.
No,
I bet you've got like 87 cents in your pocket.
You know
change, boys?
In case somebody wants to play golf. Oh, I carry it too.
Yeah.
But he got suspended. He got suspended for doing it. And then something like 100 other games,
the
referees
rest did it.
All did rock, paper, scissors in solidarity with
solidarity.
Him.
Good for them.
It's not a bad way to decide
it. It's fun.
So do you think in solidarity other curlers will just go get, blindingly drunk?
I think that's what they do.
Are you at a disadvantage when you go to the Olympics and the rules change and you can't drink?
You can't drink. I would think so,
Do they get tested for alcohol? Sure.
No.
Nobody gets tested for alcohol.
No, they're drinking at the Olympics, I'm sure, if it's part of the sport.
Wearing those fun pants.
Yes.
All right, so we'll get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. We will talk a lot about the Washington Wizards and Old Guy Radio and what we should have learned last week that we're just learning today. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talk about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. You spend a third of your life sleeping. You should be so lucky. So you should be comfortable. I sleep about 4 hours a night. The experts at Casper work tirelessly to make a quality sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all the right places. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Sleeping cool is good. Even in freezing weather, I open the windows.
Have to.
Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box. Plus free shipping and returns in the United States and in Canada, even to drunken curlers. Now is the perfect time to give Casper a try yourself or to gift Casper to someone you care about. Looking for that Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal? Head to casper.com/savings to save 10% on your entire order with any Casper mattress for a limited time only. This offer expires on November 27th. That's in 7 days, so go to Casper, CASPER.com/savings to save 10% on your entire order with any Casper mattress. Remember, it's a limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. One hit wonder by definition, Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky. We are playing this, I believe, because today is Norman Greenbaum's 76th birthday.
That's right.
In areas of critical commentary, have we had a Norman Greenbaum sighting at any point in the last X amount of years?
No, we haven't.
This is a very good song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only one he wrote that was really worth anything. I think there was a report that he was a goat farmer somewhere out
really?
West. Yes. I've been able to
confirm. So he used his royalties to buy goats?
Yeah, he bought like a big patch of land and I think just raised goats and lived out, you know, I was either in Oregon or out in California, I'm not sure which, but I think that was the rumor that he was just sort of living with the goats.
Goats are very smart.
And my cousins were goat farmers for a while in Vermont.
Really?
Not a big pack of goats. For
pets
10,
or
12,
meat.
Not for meat, for cheese.
Yeah.
For cheese.
How many goats sweaters. Do you need to be a goat farmer?
Two.
I'd say
more than two.
I think probably to be a goat. I think if you have two goats, you're that's just pets.
That's just a hobby.
I would say that I would say six plus.
Goat
a goat enthusiast.
Did you like visiting them? Plus. Did you like visiting your cousins in Vermont?
Yeah, we played golf there once.
Starting five gets you to a farm.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would have said six plus is a, you're a goat.
You know,
farmer.
There's goat yoga now.
What's that?
People well, goats, go to goats yoga walk classes and the little goats? Pygmy goats bounce around and. Jump on your back and things like that.
What?
And you, what?
Yes. And then you have lamb kebabs
yes.
right afterwards. Yes.
What are you talking
Check
about?
Check it out. Well, I don't have my phone out because we're not having our phones out. But look, yeah, Google it. Goat yoga. The they, thing.
They, goats are in the room.
And they
yes.
jump
yeah,
they, on your
yeah,
back.
Yeah, they walk on your back. They walk up and down. It's like yeah. little
do they walk
goats.
Backwards like they do up a hill?
I've not seen that.
Goats walk backwards
they
up hills?
They moonwalk. I do know that. Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Goats walk backwards
yeah,
up a hill?
Yeah, goats walk backwards up a hill. You didn't know that?
No, I'm does unfamiliar.
It, well, you should know. That? You spent all that time in Vermont at
but,
your cousin's.
But I didn't.
There are a lot
I just
of hills
looked,
in Vermont.
The goats were in a pen, and I just looked at them, and I went, that's great. And my cousin Shelley named all the goats after people in the family. So there was a goat
was
named
Tony.
Tony.
Nice.
You know, yeah, there was a name, but I don't, you know. I
what
was,
about goat cheese? Do you like goat cheese?
Not particularly. Do you?
Well, how many entrees do you have goat cheese on here? Do you know?
I don't know.
We should find that out.
Probably just
I like
a salad.
Yeah, I think it's in salads. A salad. Do you, yeah. What do you do? You
I like goat cheese.
What do you put it on?
Oh, salad.
Okay, but that's not an entree.
Burgers.
An entree salad.
Mozzarella sticks. Goat cheese mozzarella sticks are really good.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
If they're called mozzarella sticks,
good question.
Wouldn't you assume that the mozzarella was the cheese?
It's and part great, of the mozz it's, is for
it's,
the melting point.
It's a mix.
Point.
It's a mix.
You're sure there's goat mozzarella. Cheese in the mozzarella
sticks? Yeah, it's very good.
Where do you get those?
Excellent. At this place called Chatter.
Okay.
In Northwest.
Do we have that?
Just inside the DC line.
Yeah, in Friendship Heights.
By the way, I just want to read you that somebody asked Greenbaum where he came up with the idea for the song, and he said it was watching Western movies. If you ask me what I base Spirit in the Sky on was, what did we grow up watching? Westerns. These mean and nasty varmints get shot, and they wanted to die with their boots on. So to me, that was spiritual. They wanted to die with their boots on. That's where he gets the title.
That's why he's had no other hits. We're going to get to the Wizards now.
This should be interesting.
Yeah, can you send this over, please, just for a second?
What? Is this,
oh, is this goat video?
Yoga? Oh, this is a video. Oh, my God. There are goats walking on some woman's back.
Why did you not believe me?
And how much
just craziness.
How much does one pay for that?
That's extra.
Extra.
Craziness. Are they yeah. domesticated goats? I mean, yeah. what? Are, they don't try to bite you? Or,
no, I don't think
by the way, do you know the sound a goat makes? It's
yeah,
awful.
It's like a yell.
It's
like
a, terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
It is
what's the Taylor Swift thing they do. It's hilarious. There's a Taylor Swift song.
Kid.
To Bad which blood. They've replaced some of her singing with goats, screaming. It's pretty funny.
Goats are horrendous. I'm just going to read from the story in the Post. Mm. Several Washington Wizards players engaged in heated verbal altercations with each other throughout a practice late last week and hurled pointed and sometimes profane comments at Coach Scott Brooks and team president Ernie Grunfeld. According to several people who witnessed the testy practice Thursday. What's today?
Today is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
An on-court confrontation between John Wall and Jeff Green broke out, and so did another between Bradley Beal and Austin Rivers. In the aftermath of those spats, Wall directed an expletive at Brooks, and Beal erupted about Grunfeld. It goes on and on and on about this. And this was after a three-game winning streak against no team.
Yeah, because it happened last week.
Right. And then they've since lost two games. Am I correct
Badly.
On that?
Badly.
Like to the Nets and to the Trailblazers.
That's
at
right.
home.
At home.
Does that end their five-game homestand or something like that?
It does.
But according
now
to
they
this,
go one more home game.
According
Clippers.
To this same story, their practice the other day was the best they've ever had. Their practice was great.
It's great.
Okay. I've sat here for a while, not today, but over some period of time, and I've looked at the way the Wizards, particularly John Wall, are written about in this city. And I've said, I'm sorry. I used to read this guy who went on and on and on bleeding about how the Washington Wizards were wasting the great prime years of John Wall. As if John Wall had nothing to do with whatever happened. You got to get better players for John Wall. John Wall is so great. And on and on and on. And I sat and I said, I know I'm in the minority here. I think he's a very talented player. I don't particularly like the way he plays. He runs out ahead of everybody all the time. His numbers in the fourth quarter are not all-star numbers, even though he's an all-star. And I got sort of sick of reading about how great he said he was. And now if you read much of his quotes, they fall into two categories. I need national recognition, and I'm not getting any foul calls. I'm going to the basket. This other dope is getting foul calls, and he's a jump shooter, meaning Damian Lillard or whoever he's guarding that night who went for 43, and I'm not getting anything. And I said for a long time, I don't think they can win a championship with him as their lead guy because I just don't know that other people are getting better. Now there is this notion, and Kevin, I will shut up in 30 seconds. Now there is this notion that they're going to break up the entire team and everybody is available for trade. You can't trade John Wall. He's about to make $40 million a year. You can't trade Otto Porter. He's not worth what he's making. They have one tradable asset, Bradley Beal.
Get rid of him.
Am I wrong in what I've said?
Well, the only thing that you said is in this era of Golden State and before that, any team that LeBron was on in the East.
LeBron's great.
There is no hope for a championship for any other
no,
team
LeBron's great.
That's playing. So the hope for the Wizards was to get to
well,
the
get
Eastern Conference finals. That was the goal.
Right.
And they were within a few minutes of doing that 2 years ago in Game 7 against Boston when they had the lead
the
going
kings
into the
of
fourth
game
quarter.
Six.
He stood up and said, my town.
That's right.
Right behind you.
Yeah,
but it is.
In the last 17 minutes of that game, would you like to review his statistics?
Oh, in Game 7?
Yes.
He was terrible. Right. And Beal was actually the good player in Game 7 right. that year. Tony, you're right.
I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying I don't think there's a championship team.
I've been trying to find who the hell would want John Wall with those knees and that contract. At this point.
So much.
It doesn't make any sense. And then on top of that, Porter's contract is a joke, not to mention that he's just not that good. So Beal's the only tradable asset.
Yes.
It's just been so frustrating to watch two of them. Both of them have acted this way. They've acted like they've arrived at an elite level, and they're not even there yet.
They've said they're the best guard combo in the league. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the incredible chestiness of both of them. It's not just been John. It's been Beal, too, together. But so this happened last Thursday, was it? We just heard about it today.
Yeah, last Thursday. I don't know who reported. Is this the first report of it? Did someone else report it? I don't know.
Wojnarowski, I think. Did he?
I thought Wojnarowski just had the stuff about the people
about
are available.
The,
yes,
available.
That was the thing yesterday. No,
so this may be the first of
this
it.
This is the first of it. Yeah, I think we're hearing of it.
You know, but what do you do?
I mean, first of all, do you want Ernie blowing it up, or do you want the next general manager blowing it up?
Is there a next general manager?
There has to be at this
point. What about the coach? The coach got a 5-year,
$7 million, $35 million.
Le'Veon Bell takes that contract,
and they're giving him the finger in practice.
Yeah,
and that's if they want to practice.
So Larry Brown once told me that Allen Iverson cursed at him every single game and practice that he ever coached him. Allen Iverson, who has since said is the best coach I've ever had, just was Allen Iverson in Larry Brown's mind was an uncoachable player. Just uncle, you just, you know, that was Allen Iverson, and you put him out on the court because he was great. Is Scott Brooks the wrong coach, or are people just uncoachable? I don't know. They got rid of Gortat. They just got John Wall said, "Get him out of here."
Yeah, and the
get him out of here. Irony, how they doing?
The irony is he played well with Gortat, and they actually miss Gortat.
Yes,
on this team, but. He may not be coachable, just in the same way that Scott Brooks had Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and that was a tough coach.
But the results were better.
Well, they're better players. Yeah, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook are two better players.
Yes. If you think it's untenable here, Kevin Durant simply left that team. He didn't even tell Westbrook. He didn't tell him. He just left, and then after the fact, I'm out.
I just don't know who's going to give up something for John Wall or Otto Porter.
Beal, you get something for Beal. Or maybe it's a three-way deal. You know, Wilbon always has three-way deals. Wilbon says that you have to, if you get rid of these people, you have to take back people and contracts that are terrible.
They need to get picks is what they need from a team
that stinks
so that maybe they can get Zion Williamson.
This makes me very sad listening to you guys.
They are,
I want the Wizards
to
be good.
They're better than this. They'll be in the playoffs, don't you think? The East is terrible. They'll be in the playoffs.
This sounds like dysfunction that can't be overcome. They have the talent. They have the talent to win 41 games and be the seventh seed.
Yeah.
Easily, even after this start. I don't know, Tony. I don't feel like
so
it's
you're not optimistic?
Not anymore, and I used to be very optimistic about this team.
And Tori?
#sad.
Now, I will say this. Steph Curry's injured, right? He's a little banged up.
Yeah, maybe we could do a little flip there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Wall. Maybe Porter straight up for Curry.
How about Porter and Oubre for Curry?
Right.
Kelly Oubre is...
Got a trade for you, Kenny.
Kelly Who's Oubre going? Is cursing at people also, yeah. Apparently.
Why not?
He's another guy who thinks he's a great player. Here it is.
From Thursday?
This is today. The Wizards lost back-to-back games to the Brooklyn Nets and the Portland Trail Blazers following the practice altercation. People who spoke on the condition of anonymity described Monday's practice, that's yesterday, as the best one
Spirited.
The team has had. This is the best one the team has had.
Ever.
However, with the disputes in a closed-door session becoming public, another chapter has been added to the narrative of a Wizards season spiraling out of control. And then it's always, they quote somebody who's just identified as one person connected to the team. God knows who that could be. It says they just need to blow this whole stuff up.
Yeah.
Wow. You know.
I mean, well, they got the practice from Monday.
Yeah,
that's on time.
But how sad is it
they play next?
How bad is it? The best they can come up with is to say they had a good practice. They can't talk about a good game.
Clippers are here.
So not talking about practice.
If they win that game, everything's good, right, Kevin?
Yeah, everything will be fine.
And that springboard's the next game on the road at Toronto, so they'll probably easily win that matchup, right?
Let's get out of here. We will come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Battery gives us power we rely on. Whether it's the alkaline or the lithium ion, you power up my toothbrush, even though you're not electric. I don't know much about the science, especially when it's metric. You really don't remember. Every month the sponsor said they'll send a brand new toothbrush head and a battery.
This is so good. The lyrics are Bill Bardo, and it's obviously KJ with the fabulous vocal of the Laura Brannigan
KJ,
Gloria. That's just great. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports for coming on the show. Let me thank our sponsors, Casper Mattresses, First Leaf Wines, and Purell. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Am I not on Stitcher and you're on Stitcher? What is Stitcher?
I talk to your people. They're Stitcher. Trying to get you on all of these things that I'm on. I'm on everywhere.
Really?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
You're on C-SPAN as well, right?
From Hampton,
just
Nager.
On Sundays.
So you had a TSA agent stick his hands inside your pants, huh, Tony? In the wrongly attributed words of George W. Bush, hold my beer. This summer, I learned what happens when you've lost your driver's license somewhere before going through security.
Oh, yeah.
Ever connect through Logan? That disgrace to American logistics is designed so that if you need to switch terminals, you have to exit security to do it. So if you, say, leave your license at the TSA desk in Dallas, but don't know it until you're forced to exit security and are once again standing in line for heaping helping of Beantown hospitality, well, you're in for a treat. The good news is it's a procedure for being allowed through security when you cannot prove who you say you are. The bad news is meet your new best friend, who I will call here by the pseudonym of Officer Ucker. I will let you paint your own picture of what his first and middle initials may be. I'll leave out describing the anger and the despair and the fear and the waiting. And like your experience, I'll leave out the wipe down and the testing of hands, shoes, zippers, carry-ons, and outerwear. I won't even dwell on the pat-down technique that had me wondering if my wife had been allowed in the room, the officer would have asked her, mind if I dance with your date? No, the worst, the absolute worst, was the never-ending barrage of Seinfeld-esque monologue while he did it. Because no, Tony, I didn't get an explanation of just how much of a romp in the back of the Ford Fairlane I was about to enjoy. I got instead the comedy stylings of Officer Ucker and his one-line pearls of observational humor. It was a hostage situation. Not because I object to the need for a thorough physical search in such a situation. I really don't. Nor do I, parenthetically. But because out of the fear that I'd make it worse, I was compelled to chuckle after every single autopsy of a joke while a stranger felt me up. Nothing will make you angrier than having a guy at the airport stick his hand down your pants and then casually ask, so, who's here from out of town? Wondering when the damn bar car is going to show up. I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas. That's great. Douglas Bevan in Adrian, Michigan. 1, 2, 3, 4 unread emails. I'd like to thank the good people at Kohl's for sending 10 emails a day to help this wonderful dream come true. Edith Saliza. This is...
Unsubscribe.
Yeah, unsubscribe. Omar Nagy in Porterville, California. My six-year-old son has started to obsess about sports to the point that he's constantly trash-talking the opponents on the screen. We started to watch the game, and for some reason, he got attached to the green team, Binghamton, to the point where he was trash-talking the purple team, Northwestern. When the score got to 48-19, he became inconsolable and put a blanket over his head and looked like he was going to cry. Luckily, a quick trip to McDonald's for a Happy Meal fixed him right up. Needless to say, we didn't watch any more of the game. My son's name is Michael.
And Tony, he's six, but he knows a lot about sports.
Ask him anything.
He knows all the numbers. Judd from Chicago, I'm writing to inquire how your recent decision to become a Notre Dame bar has affected Chatter's bottom line. It has helped.
Yes.
Notre Dame fans are the Subaru drivers of college football. Their sanctimony is only matched by their frugality. When you have nobody and then people come in, they can be frugal for a while and it helps the bottom line. Dr. Tony, do you want cheap Subaru drivers in your for-profit restaurant? I want bodies, baby.
Yeah.
I want bodies, willing bodies. From Martin Tavazzoli. Oh, by the way, we have a professor of political science from Florida Gulf Coast here today.
Oh, wow.
In case anybody needs a political science
good team
lecture. Martin Tafazzoli, thank you for cleaning up that you didn't do your homework for the Binghamton and Northwestern game. I couldn't tell from some of the softball questions you were receiving during PTI what's a better color, who has the better mascot. Come on, Tony, you missed a great opportunity to discuss how a Bearcat's excrement reeks of buttery popcorn. I learned this fact during a tour at the San Diego Safari Park over the weekend. Our tour guide, who was also a transplant from Northern Virginia, shout out to the Amazon Alexa, noted that the Bearcats trainer can no longer hold his stomach around popped corn kernels covered in saturated fats. While I tried to process this fact, I also contemplated if I was having a David Aldridge moment. I thought to myself, maybe this guy found a way around the 23andMe ad. Thank you for the laughs, and Saliza, you know what to do. From Neil in Rockville, you did check after your experience to make sure that the guy actually was a TSA agent, right? I think he was.
Good idea.
From Joe Farhat in Minneapolis. So Washington took Mark Buttfumble Sanchez over the Peterman or any of the McCown and McNown brothers? What a world we live in these days. Neil in Rockville again. Will Michael be opening up the Chatter T-shirt and Curio shop at 12 in the morning for any Black Friday specials?
It's yes. Always open.
Yeah. All right, if you're out on your bike, Tony, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Don't do it, Tony.
Thank you.
up late on the first date, split the check kind of guy. And it would be a big mistake if he did a double take when the waitress walked by. I'm not saying that I gotta be a princess, just don't want someone so damn obsessed with himself and no time for me. If anyone asks me if I'm free, trying to find the real deal. I got friends who try to hook me up, hope it leads to love, so I'm not the third wheel. I'm not saying that he's gonna be perfect, just waiting for the one who's worth it. So till then, I'm gonna be.
A secondary passion, never known to be the sharpest tool in the shed. Went to New York City and lost his head. It was 1904 in Weeping Water, Nebraska. Born in a field of corn to washboard McCracken. His father named him Reuben, he was more of a rube. With a charmed right arm that would soon bear fruit. 1910 County Fair, his heart bounced a tad at the sound of a pianist pounding Joplin jams. Reuben shouted,
"Dad, this canticle's the ant's pants."
"Well, that's the devil's music, son. Find a carnival stand."
Sad Reuben decamped from the ragtime man to a stand with a cornball and a stack of cans. Reuben fired cans exploded. The carny said,
"Damn, kid, you got some coleslaw and talent on your hands."
The moniker stuck and his velocity grew, and Reuben signed on the dotted line with Syracuse.
The stars would know what Alexander played, right?
"Aye, pops, here's the train. Guess this is goodbye.
It's Coleslaw McCracken, the cornball assassin. Eastbound train grabbing. What's gonna happen?"
The pitcher's mound became Coleslaw's new home in front of
Joe Del Malone
and
Stagecoach Jones.
Tutored by the spitballer,
the comma snake oil.
Heat on coil heaters to
brick wall of Doyle.
Word around town,
Syracuse has just found the best prospect since the Babe came around.
Gingivitis Jackson said,
"He's the cash meow."
Even manager Lark John McGraw moved his jowl from his usual scowl. You can hear him say,
"I don't believe in analytics like ERA, but the eye test states this kid can play."
As he reeled off eight straight two-hit games, but in Jersey City,
"It's pouring rain. Game's called.
Since Rick Warren,
let's get away. There's a speakeasy spot called the Bootleggers Club. You fellas down for some liquor, card game, and love?
Crackins. Coleslaw McCrackins. Made lockjaw slackins. Headed to the Big Apple. What's gonna happen?
The boys rolled in, then Jones over the chatter.
Check the stilts on that fly mark. Oh, give her your jabber.
Cole stammered.
Ma'am, you're the corn's pajamas. Can I buy you a drink?
As he pulled out some cabbage.
Hey there.
She smiled at the cash, kinda dumb. Cole was enamored.
I think I'm in love.
A gold digger O'Hara.
Yes, I'm sure you're the one.
Little did he know she had two ruptured eardrums. The pianist urged.
Why don't you sing her a song?
I can't sing, sir.
Well, I'll help you along. This one's called Avalon by Al Jolson.
And what followed next had his teammates convulsing. A type of rhythmic speech.
It's not quite singing, nor is it speaking. My ears are bleeding.
You sound as lovely as a saint.
O'Hara told her, Mark.
I'm about to bark.
Cole, you're a star.
Coleslaw McCracken. First gotta try rapping to impress a young flapper. What's gonna happen?
Next morning, Cole said,
I'm quitting the team for my new music dream, this Jake Jabber thing.
But he struggled getting gigs.
I don't know why.
His teammates unsurprised.
Sounds like a big dive.
Maybe I just need a promotional gimmick. That guy that spent hours pulsing and made a living.
Then O'Hara chimed in.
I've got a Cole Slow. How about you, Jabber Rover?
He launched in the shallows. He sat in a barrel as he bobbed and he jabbered like a stabbed soprano. The audience was manic.
Oh, he's rapping!
What's gonna happen?
The piano got stuck, but Cole edged closer.
Turn free now!
He ducked in his enclosure!
Moment of truth!
Cole dropped his
wheel! And vanished into the depths of the punch pool. No sign of his body as they analyzed the blind.
Could he have survived?
No way he's alive!
Then he breached the mist, raised his hands past the foam as the piano hit the falls. And dropped on his dome.
Coleslaw McCracken. Niagara Jake Jabberin. A piano came crashing. What's gonna happen?
Nothing. He died.